Today's Shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Yud. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tes Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us. Yet, Chayim B'Shar Mibar, there are certain ways that the Mazik of Shar, when we speak about Shar here, we speak about the Mazik of Keren, where an animal does damage bodily to another animal. But a person has certain stringencies, mibar, then the mazik bar, chaymer bebar, and on the other hand, in certain ways, bar is more stringent than shor. And as the Rishonim point out, the purpose of this braisa is not, as we have already learned in our Gemara, to teach us why one type of mazik cannot be learned from another type of mazik. That's not what this braisa is coming to do. We've already analyzed when and how we can learn one mazik from another mazik. The purpose of this braisa is to teach us the special halachas that apply to each one of the different mazikim. So explains the braisa. Chayim b'shor mebar. One makes shor more of a mazik than bar. Shor m'shalem sakoifer. The halach is that if a shor killed a person, then the halach is you have to pay koifer. Koifer is the value of the person who was killed. Chai b'shloishim shel eved, and if a shor killed an eved kanani, no matter what the value of that eved kanani is, the halach requires that you pay, that the owner has to pay shloishim shkolim. Nigma dinoi, once the shor has been determined that it's chayiv skila because it's a mazik, also because it killed somebody. If a shor killed somebody, that shor, the Torah says, must be killed. That nigma dinoi, once the rule, once Bezdin has ruled that it must be killed, also b'hanor, you may not have hanor from the animal, whether it's alive or it's dead. The dark leilach l'hazik. And the characteristic of a shor is that a shor goes and does damage. Mashen came a bar. All of these halachas, that many of these halachas that we just identified that apply by the shor, don't apply by the bar. For example, because the Torah says by the parsha bar, v'nafal shama shor achamor, and we're going to learn shor v'loy adam, that if a person fell into a bar, then you're not chayiv. If only if an animal fell into the bar, are you chayiv? Not if a person falls into the bar. That's how Rashi explains. The Tosfos has a different point. Tosfos says that by the parsha of Shor, the Torah Kedoshah says im koifer yushas olav, and from there we learn that the halacha of koifer only apply that the halacha of koifer only applies by a shor, and it does by a shor, but it doesn't apply not if a person kills another person, and not if a person was killed by bar or eish. Continues the braisa. Chayim b'bar b'shor. Bar has a chumra over shor. Shabbat chliyosoi l'nezek. The bar, as it's dog, that it's there, that it could do damage. And as the Ravid explains, it's not to mean that this has a halachic consequence. What the Braisa means to say with this is that this is a reality. The reality is that a bar is tchilas l'nezek. From its very outset, it does damage. Umud mitchilasoi. And as we've discussed numerous times in our shiurim, there's a halacha that by shor, particularly when we speak about keren, the halacha is that by keren, when it's a tam, you pay chatzi nezek. When it's a mud, you pay nezek sholem. That halacha, says the Gemara, only is by keren. When we speak about bor, there's no concept of tam and mud. Mashen came by shor. By shor, we have the difference of a tam and mud when it does keren. Continues the braisa, Chaimer b'shar b'eish. In certain ways, shar is more of a mazik than eish. Chaimer b'eish b'mishar. And in certain ways, eish is more serious than shar, explains the Braisa. Chaimer b'shar b'eish, sheshar m'shalim kefil. As we said before, if a shar kills a person, you have to pay kaifer, vim, and that's by shar hamud, obviously. Achai b'shloishim shalavid. If a shar hamud kills an Eved Kanani, as we said earlier, you always have to pay the shloish. The owner always has to pay the shloishim shkolim. Nigma dinai. All this we've learned already. Once the shar has been identified, that it has to be killed. Osav hano. You may not have any hano from that shar. Masra lecherishayt v'katan. And if the shar was given over to shar cherishayt v'katan, who are obviously individuals that are not able to properly watch such an animal because they don't have the proper das, chayiv. Then the Baal HaShor, the person who gave this animal to these people, will be held responsible. Mash en kem be'esh, when we speak about esh, don't apply, these halachos don't apply. If somebody, chas v'shalom, put on a fire, and that fire, unfortunately, killed somebody, there wouldn't be a chiyuv kaifer, unless there's certain circumstances that would change that. That would be in a case where the person was tied to the place where he was, that he didn't have the means to escape. And there's no din of shloishim shalevet when somebody is killed by eish. And the halach is that if eish was given over to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, the person who gave it over to the cheresh shoyt of a cotton is not going to be held responsible. Even though I saw from Naftali Trop that he explains why indeed is that the halacha, that if you gave over a shoyt to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, you will be held responsible. And if you gave over eish to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, you will be not held responsible. So he wants to suggest that the reason is because it's everything we speak about in this Masechta, he suggests, is connected to Shmira, our responsibility to make sure that this doesn't do any damage. Giving a shor to cheresh shoyt of a cotton is not a way to watch an animal from doing damage, from watching a shor from doing damage. Whereas giving eish to cheresh shoyt of a cotton, this does have that ability. But then he wants to suggest a different approach. He says, shor, when we speak about a shor, he says that a shor is a mazik. In other words, a shor on its own is a mazik, and therefore we have the obligation or the responsibility to not to give that shor, which is a mazik, to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton. Whereas an eish is not an inherent mazik. Since eish is not an inherent mazik, we are not disallowed from giving that over to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton. On the other hand, says the Braisa, chom be'esh b'shor, she'esh mu'ud mitchilasa. By esh, there's no difference of tam and mu'ud, as we explained earlier. Mashen kem b'shor. Yesh continues the Braisa, chomer be'esh mi b'bar. In certain ways, esh is more serious than bar. Chomer b'bar be'esh. In certain ways, the mazik of bar is more serious than esh. Chomer b'bar be'esh. When somebody makes a bar, it's there to do damage. Masul chereshayt v'katan. If you left a bar in Rishus Rabbim uncovered with a chereshayt v'katan, then you will be held responsible. Chayiv mashen kein be'esh. As we said a moment ago, just giving over esh to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton doesn't automatically make you chayiv. Tosfos makes an interesting point that why, when we speak about eish, does the Gemara not mention that a very significant element in eish is that koich achim urabai, that the eish has something else propel, propelling it. Whereas by the other mazikim, you don't have that koich acher, an outside force propelling it. So the teretz that Tosfos gives and other rishonim give is something that we've discussed in previous shurim. The reason the Gemara avoided mentioning that is because the Gemara is not quite certain how to look at that factor of koich achem urabai. Is koich achem urabai a kula or a chumra? And since the Gemara is not certain how to approach this, is it considered a chumra or not? The Gemara avoids dealing with that chum, avoids dealing with it. Sends the Gemara further. Chayim beish mebar sheish darke leilich lahazik. And there's some saying that when the Gemara says darke leilich lahazik, is another way of saying the answer to the question that we just mentioned. It's another way of identifying koich achem urabai. Koich achem urabai is makes it darke leilich lahazik. Or me'adis echo, as soon as it does damage, that you'll be obligated to pay for the damage it did. Nezek sholem, muad. Bein dov aroyloi, whether it burns things that normally are burnt by fire. Bein she'en aroyloi. So, as well, the Gemara will identify what that means. Mashen kemabar will learn, and we will learn that, and we have learned, that a person that falls into the bar, that loch is, that you're not chayiv for Adam that fell into a bar. Chamor v'lay Adam, as we mentioned earlier. Ask the Gemara. This is the Braisa. For listening, ask the Gemara, Chayim b'shar m'bar, sheshar chayiv b'yis a kelim. That if a shar did damage to kelim, you will be held responsible for that. Mashen came b'bar. Because the Gemara is going to teach us in daf nun gimel amid beis. The Pasuk says, by the mazik a bar, v'nafel shama shor chamor, and the Gemara teaches us, according to the Chachamim at least, chamor v'loy kelim, that you will not be responsible for kelim that are in the bar, that fall into the bar. Answers the Gemara, the reason this wasn't mentioned in the Braisa, because Hamani, who was the tan of this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayiv on this kelim a bar, that actually holds you responsible for kelim in a bar. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say, Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to say that the Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so ask the Gemara Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Braisa. Chaim Beish Mibor, the Braisa said that what is the difference between Eish and Bar? She'esh darka leilch lahazik. Eish goes and does damage. Ume'edis lechel, and you pay nezik sholein, whether it did damage, whether it burned dova haroiloi, something that it usually burned. You burn with fire, or bein dava shein roiloi, or something that you usually don't burn with fire. Mashen kemibar, as we just said, that you don't have the same obligations by bar, says the Gemara. Dava roiloi, when we spoke about eish, that it does damage, what is it? Maininu eitzim, that it does damage to wood, because wood is what is normally burnt with fire. When the Braisa said, Dovish ain royaloi. What did the Braisa mean with Dovish ain royaloi? My kalim. And the Braisa said that that's going to be halacha by Eish, that you're going to be chai for these things. Mashen came a bar. By bar, you won't be chai for these things. But ask the Gemara, if we're suggesting, if we're saying that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Hamrit, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, the mechayiv hoy Rabbi Yehuda on this kalim a bar? Unlike the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you are chai for kelim and bar. So what is the Braisa saying? That Eish will be chai for kelim, and bar will not be chai for kelim. But if we're saying that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then actually you would be chai for Eish. You would be chai for kelim by bar as well. Ella, so because of this question, the Gemara retracts. And says, Olam Rabbanan hi. We're going to have to say that this Braisa is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. And the Braisa is saying that Shor is Chayiv HaKelim because Tana V'Shayir. The Braisa did not mention this Chumrah. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that indeed, by Shor, you're Chayiv on Kelim, and by Bor, you're not Chayiv on Kelim, the opinion of the Rabbanon, that chamor v'lekelim, as we mentioned a few moments ago. But says, and but the Braisa didn't mention it. So says the Gemara, a very often stated expression in Shas, my shire, the high shire, which means as follows. The Gemara is willing to accept that not every nafgamina, that not every rule has to be stated in a Braisa. Braisas don't have to be that extensive. But even if Braisas don't have to be that extensive, says the Gemara, the Braisas have to be teaching us that the Braisa will not just leave out one exception. So ask the Gemara, my Shire, the high Shire, answers the Gemara, Shire Tumen. That the halacha is, if what got damaged was not visible. So the halacha is that by bor and shor, yechayiv, even while what got damaged was tumen, was not visible. Whereas by eish, you'll be potter. That the halacha is that if a shor kicked a bag full of different objects, even though those bags, objects weren't visible, they're in the bag, the shor bechayiv. The same halacha is that if a donkey, chamor, as we quoted the pasuk, fell into a bor, and the donkey is carrying a bag full of wheat, and the wheat got ruined, so the halacha is, even though that wheat is not visible, you'll be chayiv. But by eish, there's a new halacha, that if the what the eish did damage to was tamen, wasn't visible, you wouldn't be chayiv. And that's the other nafkamina that wasn't mentioned in the Braisa. But now the Gemara goes back again. The Braisa is representing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, if that's the case, the Braisa did not say that shor is more stringent than bor, that chayiv by kalim by shor and not by bor, because our Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you are chayiv for kalim by bor. So if that's the case, we asked that the Braisa said that by eish chayiv adov she'enaroi loy, which is kalim, and the question is that that is the case by that is the case by bar as well. So why does that make a chumra of shor over bar? Says the Gemara, dov she'enaroi loy doesn't mean kalim. Lav l'suyin kalim. El'suyin comes to teach us licha niroi. We spoke about this also previously. That if the fire singed the earth, the sichay avonai, or it singed the stone, that the halach is. So these are things that are attached to the ground. By eish you'll be chayiv. By bor, there's no obligation for the ground of the bor getting damaged, that the bala bor should be chayiv. Maskev lo Ravashi asks Ravashi, now that the Gemara is attempting to explain that this price is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so then, listening, the Braisa should have also mentioned the Chaim B'Shor B'Bor, Shashor Chai Bo, Shor Psule HaMekdoshim, that if there was an animal that was designated to be brought as a carbon, and then that animal became a Balmum, that the halacha is it should be redeemed, and the halacha is that it has certain limitations. You're not allowed to cut its hair, you're not allowed to drink its milk. If it dies, you can't feed the nevela to a dog. Masha'en kein b'bor, that the halacha by bor is that if a shor psulei hamikdashim fell into a bor and it died, the halacha is that the bala bor is potter from paying, because the pasuk says v'meis yeloi. The Torah says that the mace, the animal that fell into the bor, hameis yeloi, becomes the property, as we'll discuss, of the maziks. But here, if it's psulei hamikdashim, it wouldn't become his property. So since it can't become his property, we can't say that he's, so that makes it, so he can't be held responsible. So yeah, b'shlom rabbanon he, if we'll say that the braisa fouls the opinion of the rabbanon. So we've already explained that if we're explaining that this braisa is following the opinion of the rabbanon, either the Shayahach, just like the Braisa omitted telling us that by Bor, you're not Chai for Kalim, omitted telling us by Eish, you're not Chai for Taman, it also omitted telling us that what is going to be the Halacha by Psulei Mekdoshim. Eliam Rabbi Yehuda, but if we're saying that the Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we're back to the question, my Shaya the Heisheir, it was saying, we wanted to say, Tana Vishayer, that we, what is the Tana Vishayer going to be that besides this Chumrah? Answers the Gemara, Shaya Dash Benira, that if an animal was on a, walked an animal was walked on a field that was plowed, then you'll be responsible for the animal having wounded. However, when a forks a bar, as we said a few moments ago, there is no chiv for karka for the earth of the bar. Imish shemdash beniroi says the more if that's what you go on to say is the difference. Lav shiruhu. That is another rule that was omitted. That's not correct. The Tana shekein darka leilich lahazik. The Tana, when it said chayar mishar bebar, identified that what makes shar different. What makes shar different is darka leilich lahazik. That when it walks, it does damage. So that was already included. That if it tramples a plowed field, you will be held responsible. So you can't say that it was omitted. That it would be able to say Tana V'Shayer. Our Mishnah said, "Hechsharti b'miksas niskoi." If I created a situation that I didn't completely watch the mazik properly, it's treated as if I didn't watch it at all properly. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, "Tana Rabbanan, hechsharti miksin niskoi." If I only set up part of the damage, I will be held responsible. Chafti, I will be held responsible. But tashlumei niskoi, I will have to pay for all of the damage. Kech shekol niskoi, as if I prepared all of the damage. What does that mean? Ketzat says the Gemara, what it means is, hachoifer bor, if somebody digs a pit, tisha, that's 9 tefachim deep, that, and we learn in the Gemara later, that the Torah HaKadosh, when it speaks about the mazik bor, says kiyichre ish bor. So the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us with that ish v'loy shnayim. Only if one individual dug the bor and not two individuals. What does that really mean? What that really means is that if one person dug 9 tefachim and then the second person dug the 10th tefach, the person who dug the 10th tefach will be chayiv, because the Torah, when it speaks of the mazik, when it speaks about the mazik abor, the Torah says v'ameis yeloi. So the Torah, by using the words v'ameis yeloi, is actually saying that somebody died by falling into the bar. And when the Torah says that somebody died by falling into the bar, what the Torah means is that it has to be a bar that's deep enough that if somebody falls into that bar, they will die. And Chazal identify, as we're going to learn many times in our Masechta, that has to be a bor that's 10 tefachim deep. If it's not 10 tefachim deep, it doesn't have the ability of killing a person who falls into it. But once we understand this halacha, so if you have somebody who dug 9 tefachim of the bor, and then somebody else dug the 10th tefach, the person who dug the 10th tefach will not be chayiv, because the person who dug the 9th tefach will not be chayiv if somebody unfortunately dies, because it wasn't deep enough. And therefore, says the Gemara, if somebody dug Tisha Ba'ach V'Shlim Al-Asara, and the next person dug the 10th tefach, Ha'achron chayiv, the second one will be chayiv, even though he only did Miksas Niskoi. He only did partial. He only did one tefach. Says the Gemara, this, if that's pshat, if our Mishnah, Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, if somebody digs a bar that's 9 tefachim deep, and the second person digs the 10 tefach, the second person will be chayiv. What will be halacha, says Tosfos, if somebody dug a bar that's 8 tefachim deep, and then the next person did the 9th tefach, and the person that fell into it doesn't die, but he gets wounded. Here we have a machlokes rishonim. Will the person since they both dug bairis that have the ability to hurt someone, so since they both dug bairis that have the ability to hurt someone, they will both be held responsible because they both participated in the digging of the bar. Or we'll say the deeper the bar, the more of a mazik it is. Because the deeper the bar, the more of a mazik it is, the halacha will be that only the second person will be chayiv. Interesting, machlokes rishonim. A similar question I saw that the rishonim discussed. What happens if somebody dug a bar that's 10 tefachim deep? And then somebody else dug one more tefach, 11th tefachim. Will only the first... So everybody agrees that the first person will be held responsible. But there is a machlokes rishonim. Will the second person also be... Is it only the first person that's held responsible? Because he dug a bar that's 10 tefachim deep, and a bar that's 10 tefachim deep has the ability to kill. Or will the second person, because he did make the bar deeper, and of course, the deeper the bar, the more dangerous the bar, will be chayiv. So here again, Rabbi Omer, if we the example we speak about, where somebody dug a ninth tefachim, the second person dug the 10th tefach, Tanakhama says that then somebody falls and dies, only the second person will be held responsible. Rabbi Amir Achron Lamisa, the second person will be responsible if somebody dies. Achashneim Nezakim, but when it comes to somebody getting hurt, they will both be held responsible. Rapapama Lamisa, that if a shar fell in there and died, Devi Hakol, everybody, even Rebbe, will agree that the shor will be held responsible. Ikka d'amri, says the Gemara. So therefore, if that's going to be the halacha, that the shor that fell into the bar died, everybody agrees that only the person who made it 10 tefachim deep is responsible. And that's what the Brice is speaking, that's what the Mishnah meant to say. And therefore, our Mishnah to follow the opinion of Rebbe, as well as the Tanakhama. So the Gemara Amar Papa, no, the Mishnah is speaking about Lamisa, and Lamisa, even Rebbe agrees, only the second person is Chayiv. The Pasuk says, Ki yiftach ishbar, oi ki yichr ishbar, v'lo yichaseno, v'nafal shom ashar oi chamor, balabar yishalim. So the Gra makes an observation that in this Pasuk, the Torah says the word bar three times. The first time, ki yiftach ishbar, the pasuk says the word bar mole, with a vav. The second time, it says ki yichr ishbar, it doesn't say a vav. And the third time, bala bar yishalim, it does say with a vav. What's the Torah trying to teach us? So it says the gra, the pasuk is teaching us. The first case is that the first person, that one person dug a bar that's 10 tefachim deep. The second pasuk is talking about that he dug a bar, but it's not mole. It was only 9 tefachim deep. And the second person dug the 10th tefachim. And the pasuk is saying that only time that you're responsible is either if you dug the whole 10th tefachim or if you dug the 10th tefach. The first person dug the 9 and you dug the 10th. Then in those cases, you will be held responsible if somebody dies, not the other person. Mask of Rav Zeira. Says the Gemara that we've been learning that we're speaking about a case where somebody dug 9 and the other one person dug the 10th. Maskel or Zera, the Suleka, can't, and that's what we're saying is what the Mishnah meant to teach us when you were Machshir Mechsas Niskai. You dug the 10th Tefach and you will be held responsible. Ask them of a Suleka, are there no other examples? Vayikah, Masr Shar al Chamisha B'nai Adam. If somebody gave over his animal to 5 people, or pasha by echemahem, and to watch the animal, and one person didn't do his job properly, the hizik, and then the animal did damage. Chayiv, even though he was only one of the 5 shomrim, the halacha is that he was held responsible. Hechidami. So Gemara drills down to understand what does this mean. Ilem de balav ihu, if we'll say that without this 5th shomer, loy have it, the animal can't be properly watched. This animal needs five people to watch it. Pshita diu kovid. So of course, he, by walking away, will be held, should be held responsible. It must be el velavhiu nami minter. It must be that even without him, four people are good enough. So why, my kovid, why will he be held responsible for walking away? Says the Gemara, maskler of Sheshis. So Rav Sheshis asks, for Ikka, so that's why it's not mentioned, that's not why it's mentioned in the Mishnah. But what about a case, Marba b'chavila? What would be if somebody put on a fire and to burn a bundle of wood, and somebody else put another bundle of wood on top of that fire, and that caused the fire to get bigger, and because the fire got bigger, it was able to travel and do more damage. So we see that the second person will be held responsible, because the first person made a fire that doesn't have that ability to do such serious damage. So says the Gemara, let's first understand, hey chidami, what is the example, what are we speaking about? If the first person's fire could not have done damage, it's only the second person, by making the fire bigger, made it into an esh pshita, that only he should be held responsible. Ella, how must we be explaining? At the belav ayu azla, the fire would have gone anyway. He just made it bigger. So ask the Gemara, if that is the case, my kovid, why should he be held responsible? Machloikas rishonim, what does this mean? Why should he be held responsible? The pasha pshat in the Gemara is that the second should not be held responsible at all, because the first person already created a full-fledged mazik. But I did see Rishonim that explained the Gemara, that the Gemara always knew that they both be held responsible. Says the Gemara, maskler apapa. So ask for apapa, v'ikah, I'll give you another example. Hadatanya. Chamisha shiyosh v'sa'achad. Five people are sitting on one bench, v'lo shavrua, and they didn't break it. And now, now another person sits down on that bench, and he, putting the weight on the bench, he breaks the bench. What is the example? That they were all heavy people, but he is also heavy, and he's sitting on the bench, breaks the bench, and he's responsible. So ask the Gemara, let's understand. If we'll say that had he not sat down on the bench, the bench would have never broken. It's only because he sat down on the bench did the bench break. Says the Gemara, pshita. So it's obvious that he should be held responsible. And here the Rishonim all say that the people who were sitting there previously should not be held responsible at all. Ella, what must be the case? The Belaviu Nami Itbar. Had he not come, it would have broken anyway. So why will he be held responsible? My COVID, what has he done? And this, actually, the Rishonim say, touches the question that we mentioned a little earlier. If somebody dug 10 and the next one dug the 11th, where we said it's not clear will that person be chayiv. Here it seems that he would not be chayiv. Says the Gemara, so my COVID, what did he do? Ask the Gemara, Soif, hey, Masnisech Matarza, whether we'll say that this is what our Mishnah is referring to, whether we're not going to say it's what we're referring to, how do we understand the Braisa, that the Braisa says that the last one will be held responsible? Says the Gemara, Loit Tzvicha, they refer to a case, the Lav Ihu have a mitzvah treishai. If these five people would have remained on this bench for 2 hours, the bench would have broken. But now, by the sixth person sitting down, it's more pressure on the bench, more weight on the bench, and it breaks in one hour. So the five people say to this sixth individual, Ilavat, if not you would have sat down here, have your svin and tvei porto, we would have just sat here a little longer, not for the 2 hours, the kaiman, and we would have gotten up. V'leimelu, so why can't the sixth person say to the other five? Says the Mar Ilav Atun, if not that you were sitting on the bench, the Didi, if I would have sat on the bench alone, Lo Yav Amitba, the branch would never break. So you should be participating. And again, here the Rishonim say that he doesn't mean to say that he shouldn't be held responsible. What he means to say is that we should all be held responsible together. Answers the Gemara. What happened here was, Lotzricha, the Behadid the Samachbu Tavar. While he was sitting there, he says the case here is that it wouldn't have broken. Only because he sat down that it broke, says the Gemara. So if that's, he leaned down. So he leaned on this bench, on the people on the bench. Says the Gemara, so he should be held responsible. Answers Pshita that he's responsible. He caused the bench to break. Says the Gemara, since he didn't actually sit on the bench, he just caused that they can't get up. So that's Koicha Lavka Gufa Damai. He should not be held responsible. Kamash Malon, that anything that comes because of him, the Koicha Gufa Damai. And therefore, Kol Hecha the Gufa Tavar, had he been sitting on the bench, the Gemara just said everybody would agree that if he causes it to break, he will be held responsible. Here too, if it's Koichai, it's because of him that it broke. It's also considered as if he broke the bench and he will be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, and again, the Gemara is focused on what we're learning here. What is shat or what is included in the Mishnah when it says Hechsharti Mechtzes Nixai, that if I prepared some of the Nezik, I will be held responsible as if I did all of it. Says the Mavasu, like other no other cases. I was asked the Mavaika, there is another case, the Tanya. The Brisa speaks about a case of Ikur Sarah B'nei Adam Besamaklis. 10 people hit a person with 10 sticks. Bein B'basachas, whether they all hit him simultaneously, Bein B'zachazah, whether they hit him consecutively, the loch is kulim paturim. Because if they hit him together, so we certainly don't know who was the person that was the murderer. And even if they hit him consecutively, everyone helped cause that he should die. But he didn't cause him, no one person completely murdered him. And therefore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir Omer, the b'zeh achra, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the 10th person will be held responsible. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he only did mixas niskai. He only was partially responsible. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that he's going to be held completely responsible. Answers the Gemara b'ktala loy kamari. The Mishnah are not speaking about murder. As we just said, that this is a machlokes of Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbanan, we're avoiding cases of machlokes. But ask the Gemara, let's go back. We said that when somebody dug a bar of 9 and the second person made it 10, that isn't like Rebbe. That the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan said that the person who did the 10th tefach will be held responsible. But we learned that Rebbe's opinion was that they would both be held responsible. So we see it's a machlokes, and we're just saying that the Brice is avoiding machlokes. The Mishnah is avoiding machlokes. Says the Mishnah, like Rebbe Ukurabonin. Say that the Brice isn't following the opinion of Rebbe, but it's following the opinion of Rabbonin. Mukminin, that makes sense. Because usually, the halacha follows the opinion of the Rabbonin. But to have a Brice to explain that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and not the opinion of Rabbanon, says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense, because to have it follow what is not the halacha. So Rashi, in this case that we just spoke about, of Ikur Sar B'nei Adam B'Esem Maklis, Bein B'Basachs Bein B'Zachazeh, Umeis Kulim Paturim, Rashi says that we can't kill anyone, because we don't know who was the one that should be held responsible. So the Yishmach Moshe explains, now we could understand the dialogue between Yehuda and his brothers when they were selling Yosef. What did Yehuda say to them? Ma betza, ki naharig eslachinu, v'chesinu estamay. And Rashi says, v'chesinu estamin, v'nalim es misosay, will cover up his death. What does Rashi mean to say with this? So, says the Yisach Moshe, the Shvatim, did not want to be held responsible for killing Yosef. So what did they do? They decided that we're going to all participate to kill him together. If we're all going to participate to kill him together, no one person will be held responsible. To which Yehuda said that we won't accomplish anything. Because yes, the chesinu astamai, we won't be held responsible the day Adam, because Rashi says, why can't we be held responsible, says the Yisroch Moshe? Because l'inoida miyuko, when 10 people hit him, we don't know who was the actual murderer. But were we to know, min ha-shamayim somehow, who was the actual murderer, then that murderer will be held responsible. And that's why Yehuda said, killing him will make, all of us killing him, Bezdin maybe can't kill any of us, because Bezdin won't be able to determine who is truly the murderer. But in Shemayim, they know who is the murderer, and we won't accomplish anything. Therefore, don't do this. Don't all of us kill him together. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Hechsharti mitzvas naskoi, hechavti b'tashlumei naskoi. As we've been learning, if I just did some of the causation of nezek, I'm held responsible if I did all of it. Says the Gemara, chavti b'niskoi loiktani. But the Gemara points out, let's look at the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say chavti b'niskoi loiktana, cha ela b'tashlumei naskoi. That you have to, the payment. What does the Mishnah mean with the words tashlumei naskoi? Says the Gemara, tanina lohad the Torah rabbanan. Our Mishnah is teaching us a halacha that we learn in a braisa. The Torah says that when a mazik with a shor does damage, he has to pay tashlumei nezek. What does that mean? Melam shapalim patapim benaveila. There's a dead animal. That animal has some value. What does the mazik have to pay? The difference between the value of the animal, of the dead animal, and what it's worth now, but not that animal and what the hezek was, what the damage was, but the nizik is responsible and keeps that animal. Menani mili, says the Gemara, where do we know this halacha from? Says the Gemara, Amar Vami, Damakra. The Pasuk says, Maka nefesh behemi yishalmena. And says, the Braisa, Atikri yishalmena al yashli menu. You have to make up, the difference of the loss. So I saw that the Achroinim, the Sefer Afik Yam, tries to understand, what does this halacha mean? Does it mean that the damage is not evaluated according to the death of the animal, as if I killed an animal? The damage is only how much the animal went down in value? Or does it mean that the damage is that I killed an animal? This halacha, says the Gemara, is a halacha in how to pay for the damage. And the Torah is saying, you don't have to take out the mazik, does not have to take out of his pocket the entire value, he only has to pay the difference. Rav Kahana Amar Mehocha. How do we know that the halacha abalim metaplim benevela? Because the pasuk says, when somebody has a shomer socher, high is a shomer socher, a shomer that you pay to watch the animal. The pasuk says, im tarav yiv tarav, yiveyu ad a treif lo yishalem. Says the Gemara, the pasuk is teaching us, im tarif yitrei yivieu atref yishalim. You have to pay till how much the animal's worth. But what the animal's worth, that much treif atzma lo yishalim, you're not obligated to pay. That is the nizik will keep. Chizkiya says mehocha. The pasuk says that when a shor damages another shor, a shor was negech is not the shor. Shalim yishalim shor tachs ashor v'meis yiloi. What does it mean loy? Lenizik. The chen tana debei chizkia. When the pasuk says meis yiloi, it means lenizik. Ask the brayer. So atoyim lenizik ena lemazik. Amart loy kachaya. Says the Gemara that it can't be, that can't be, because the Torah would not have expressed it. I saw the Sfarim explain in that way. My like kachaya, I'm a by Isaac a daitach. Because if the halacha were the nevela, the mazakavya, lichtav rachmana would just be adequate that the Torah said, shor, takashor, the lishtik, and that the mazak is responsible. Hamesh yiloi lamali. Why did the Torah have to add those words? Shmamina, to tell us that it's the nizaks. Says the Gemara, so we have three psukim that teach us the same halacha that the bailim, the nizik, metapim benevela. So ask them, why do we need three psukim to teach us the same halacha? Dikos rachmana makabeim yishalmena mishum deloy shicha. It's unlikely that a person should hit an animal and kill an animal. Avotrei for the shicha, that an animal should get damaged, emaloy, there maybe I would say that the nizik should not be responsible, tzricha. V'yashmin treifa, the mishum, the memela. One animal hit another animal. Ava makad to be a dayim, where when you have a case where the shomer didn't actually do anything, a makad be a dayim, where you did something actively, emaloy, then the mazik should be held responsible and not the nizik. V'yashmin hanetarti, ha mishum d'loy shchicha, that a person should damage an animal. Hav mishum de memela, that the person won't actively damage the animal. Ava meis yeloi, the case of a meis yeloi, which is referring to one animal damaging another animal, that has all of the qualities of being shchicha. It's something that happens often, and it's something that happened that the mazik actively did be a dayim. So we would think emeloi, then we shouldn't be lenient. It was not me who did the damage. It was something that I owe my animal the damage. Aval, hoch, in the other cases where the Adam was a mazik or the shomer didn't watch the animal properly. So it's the person who did the damage. Emeloi, maybe we shouldn't be lenient. That's why tzricha, we had to have all three psukim to teach us the same concept of habailim, baalim, which is another way of saying the nizik. Metaplim, the nevela, the bailim have to be held. The nizik has that responsibility.